It's the Vinyl Countdown.
And welcome to the warm, crackly sound of vinyl. Over the next hour, we're focusing on the duets who weren't as harmonious as their music. And there are so many, including this pairing. We'll be right back.
subject to change.
Successes in the 70s and 80s, Hall & Oates dominated the charts for a while, but it was all to end in tears after decades together. That's our theme today, the duos who made beautiful music and then angry scenes. We heard Hall & Oates with I Can't Go For That, their fourth American number one single and a British top 10 hit in late 1981 and early 1982. Then it was Method of Modern Love. It peaked in the top 30 on both sides of the Atlantic in 1985. We are sitting in the studio surrounded by 7 and 12 inch records, real vinyl. As usual, my son Max is here to play and discuss the records. Max, do you like the sound of those two smooth hits from Hall & Oates?
I think despite being quite smooth songs, they're also two slightly contrasting songs in the way they're written.
In what way?
I don't know how to describe it, but within I Can't Go For That, it's energetic, but it's like a smooth energy. It's almost like a yacht rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were very yacht rocky, I think.
But then you get to a song like Method of Modern Love, and it almost has kind of reggae influences. It sounds a lot less less Californian.
I really like their music, I have to say. It is very, very smooth. So Daryl Hall and John Oates got together in 1970. They were a formidable hit-making machine. 29 of their singles reached the American Top 40. Many were in the British charts from 1974 to 1991. I Can't Go For That was amongst them. It is a catchy tune, almost soul, I think, Max. It's often known as white boy soul.
As I said, it is quite a smoothly written kind of yacht rock. I think yacht rock almost could be interpreted as white boy soul.
Yeah, it's music for, as I say, listening to on your yacht, isn't it, really? Have you got a yacht?
I don't know. You tell me. Do we have a yacht?
I'm afraid not, no. But we still like the music. Well, I do anyway.
I can't say I'm a big yacht rock fan. I think it just doesn't have the kind of energy I want from a track.
I Can't Go For That isn't about relationships. It's about the music business, Max. It's about being pushed away by big labels. They found it hard to get a recording contract at first.
I'm wondering why, though. They have that, corporate sound that every record label looks for.
I think they felt when they were first signed up as well, they just got pushed around by record labels. Record labels just wanted them to do what they wanted to do, not what the band, what the two of them wanted to do.
Honestly, that song sounds exactly like it was pushed around by corporation despite being the rebellious song.
It's not a rebellious song, is it?
It's quite a generic sort of yacht rock, but with slightly reggae energy. It is exactly what you think of when you think of that kind of music scene of the late 70s and early 80s.
It was exactly the type of song at the time that radio stations loved to play.
Yes.
Didn't offend anybody.
Yeah, I think that's almost the problem.
Method of Modern Love was also very big for them. If there is a criticism of their music, it's that it's too smooth, too undemanding.
I think it is almost slightly... It lulls you into a sense of relaxation, but almost a boring way.
Don't pull your punches, do you?
I never really do on this show, do I?
Not really, no. Well, it all ended badly, Max. In 2023, Hall filed a lawsuit against Oates, accusing him of partnership betrayal amidst lots of contractual and financial disputes. So they got on for a while, but not anymore.
And I assume that means that they're never to record again.
I think it's very, very unlikely, judging by what they've said in public.
Yes, I haven't been keeping track of what's been happening in the courts, but...
There's a lot of court action. So today we are focusing on the duos which ended in anger. Maybe the problem, Max, is there are only two people, obviously, in a duo, so it can feel a bit claustrophobic compared to bigger groups.
I suppose it's quite difficult as well, because you can be two people, however similar you are, you're going to disagree musically on certain things, and eventually that will almost rip you apart, won't it?
Yeah, as we're going to see on this programme. Well, in an interview during the 1980s, when they were still talking to each other, John Oates and Daryl Hall explained why they made music.
I don't know anything about hit records. We just make the best records we can, and if they're hits, great.
I mean, we make music for other reasons. I mean, we want to make a lot of money, sure. You know, that's fun. I think we've been making music most of our lives, and I think there's other things that are more important. The commercial success is great, but it's not the only thing that we're working for.
Cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies, and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said, as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America. My old friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did to the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. Echoing the wells of silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, in tenement halls, whispering the sound.
A duo who definitely fell out spectacularly after years of success. Simon and Garfunkel had hit after hit in the 1960s and 70s, but it didn't stop the implosion of their partnership. America was a top 30 hit single in Britain, having been an album track as far back as 1968 for them. And we heard the 1966 song, The Sound of Silence, an American number one. They were a fine duo, Max.
They were an absolutely incredible duo. They're one of the most iconic duets of all time, I'd argue. Everybody knows about Simon and Garfunkel, or about Simon and the other one, anyway.
Now, America is a very cinematic song. You can imagine the landscape, can't you, and what it says about America at the time.
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting song because the vocals are almost a bit distorted when you listen to it. It's very different to what I think of when I think of Simon and Garfunkel.
It's very panoramic, though. You know, you get a sense. They're describing what they see as they travel on that bus across America.
Yeah, I think it's almost a more adventurous song, though, than other Simon & Garfunkel tracks.
In what way?
I don't know why it is. I don't know. It's maybe just the energy of it. It perhaps forgets the way the guitar just comes across. It's different to, say, The Sound of Silence, which is a much smoother sound.
America came out of a five-day road trip that Paul Simon took with his then-girlfriend, and it drew on what they'd seen.
I think it's quite a difficult song, actually, because Art Garfunkel didn't come with Paul Simon.
He just sang along on it.
Exactly. It's quite difficult to sing about something that you haven't written or seen.
But it does feel very autobiographical, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it, as I said, it feels like a bit of a personal adventure song. It feels like you're travelling across America as you listen to it.
And it seems to be almost about an America that has disappeared.
Yeah, it's a very different America to the America of today. I think no one really recently has written a song like that. I think it would be quite interesting to see how a duet could write a song
about a modern version.
A modern version of what the States looks like.
And just like America, The Sound of Silence, which we heard, that's also a story. Paul Simon started writing it in 1963 as a response to the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, it's an incredibly thoughtful song. Whether it's the sort of acoustic guitar, the singing, it's almost mournful because of, well, JFK's assassination.
Yeah, it has a sort of sense of disillusionment about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it almost feels like he's kind of taken aback, Paul Simon, in that song.
Well, Simon and Garfunkel met in elementary school in 1953. They broke up in 1970. By then, they couldn't stand each other, Max. They disagreed musically and artistically.
Which is the perfect combination for a musical duo.
Exactly. Everything about each other they disliked.
I think it's quite difficult to be in a duo if you can't make creative decisions together.
I think also Paul Simon always felt he was the creative one. He was the one who did the writing and wrote the hits.
I don't know if I disagree, honestly. I know that that's always been the common perception among most people, that Paul Simon was creative and Art Garfunkel was just sort of there.
Certainly Paul Simon's perception.
Yes.
Well, they got back together for a concert in Central Park in 1980. They went on a world tour in 1982, but they barely spoke to each other. They only occasionally speak to each other now.
Interesting social experiment would be to have live cameras and force them to do an album together.
I think that would be a very acrimonious occasion.
Paul Simon, if you're watching, I have an idea.
Speak to my agent.
Exactly.
Max, you're going to be back later with more on one of our duos. We are going upbeat now, though, all from pairings who disagreed. All on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. All your vinyl memories.
Zion, it rules all creation. Yeah.
More than two of them in the group, but two of them really drove the music forward and they didn't get on. Bob Marley and Peter Tosh were at the heart of the Wailers. Peter Tosh left the group in 1974, along with Bunny Wailer, and left Marley on his own. Jamming is one of my favourite singles from After the Split, a British top 10 hit in 1977. And here's another group with a duo at the heart of the music who couldn't reconcile.
Yeah.
was everywhere in 1965, Stop in the Name of Love was an American number one and British top ten hit for the Supremes. At the very centre of the group were Diana Ross and Mary Wilson, but by the late 1960s, the tensions were there between them, and eventually Diana Ross would go solo. Anyway, this is Jonathan Charles. Daft Punk, The Kinks, and many others are on the way as we explore the musical duos who just couldn't stay together.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. All your vinyl memories, Jonathan Charles.
Legend of the Phoenix, huh. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
Lucky. We come too far to give up. Who we are. Lucky. 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 night to get lucky. We're up all 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 night to get lucky.
Global number one when it came out in 2013, a party song if ever there was one, Get Lucky, produced by Nile Rodgers. Daft Punk, made up of French duo Thomas Bangalter and Guy-Manuel de Homem-Christo, were the band, but by 2021, after almost 30 years, they split. Well, the other half of our duo on this show, Max, is going to be back in the studio shortly. That's right after the triple play, all on today's theme, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown!
1957!
Wake up, little Susie, wake up. We've both been sound asleep. Wake up, little Susie, and weep. The movie's over, it's 4 o'clock, and we're in trouble deep. Wake up, little Susie, wake up, little Susie. Well, what are we gonna tell your mama? What are we gonna tell your papa? What are we gonna tell our friends? Wake up, little Susie. Wake up, little Susie. Well, I told your mama that you'd be in by 10. Well, Susie, baby, looks like we goofed again. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up, little Susie. We gotta go home.
Of a plot. We fell asleep, our goose is cooked, our reputation is shot. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up, little Susie. Well, what are we gonna tell your mama? What are we gonna tell your papa? What are we gonna tell our friends when they say, ooh la la, wake up, little Susie. Wake up, little Susie. Wake up, little Susie.
Dirty old river, must you keep rolling into the night? People so busy make me feel dizzy. Taxi light shines so bright, but I don't need a friend. As long as I gaze on Waterloo sunset, I am in paradise. Station every Friday night, but I am so lazy, no one to wonder. I stay at home at night, but I don't feel afraid. As long as I gaze on Waterloo sunset, I am in paradise. Every day I look at the world.
Waterloo sunset, they are in paradise.
Then Charles,
1969. When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll, only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that rag doll.
Countdown triple play, all singles from duos who ended up apart. First, we had the Everly Brothers, Phil and Don. Wake Up Little Susie was a huge success for them. They started playing together in 1955, but by 1973, Don told a reporter he was tired of being an Everly. Then we heard the Kinks with Waterloo Sunset, a top five hit in 1967. The group consisted of brothers Ray and Dave Davis. They broke up due to creative tension between them. Finally, we had husband and wife duo Ike and Tina Turner with River Deep Mountain High. Max, you're back in the studio. You've been finding out more about Ike and Tina Turner.
Ike and Tina Turner were an American husband and wife duo. They performed together from 1960 until 1976. They had a string of hits including A Fool in Love, Nutbush City Limits, and the track that we just played, River Deep, Mountain High. It went into the UK top 5 in 1966, and Rolling Stone put it high on the list of the greatest songs of all time. It was produced by Phil Spector and composed, along with him, by another husband and wife team, Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. Ike and Tina Turner were a groundbreaking act in the 1960s, performing before both black and white audiences in the southern states of America at a time when that was both unusual and potentially dangerous. Following their chart success, they performed for the Rolling Stones as an opening on a 1966 tour. Their success continued, however, their relationship became more troubled during the 1970s. Tina Turner said that Ike had physically abused her throughout their marriage, and his addiction to cocaine got steadily worse. In 1976, their relationship was over, personally and professionally. Their divorce was finalized in 1978, with Tina Turner going to what would eventually be a very successful solo career in the 1980s.
Yeah, immensely successful. And when you listen to River Deep, Mountain High, Max, you hear just how good they were as a duo.
It's a really, really energetic song. I think it's almost got that sort of gospel-type music going.
I think you can see the roots of Southern gospel in there and soul and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty multi-dimensional song, actually. It's one that I really enjoy.
But behind their musical facade, it was obviously a very troubled relationship.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to keep on writing music, and that's a theme we've had on today's show a lot. It's really difficult to keep on writing music with someone that you just despise.
Yes, that's very, very tough to be in the same room with them. So what do you think we've discovered today about how difficult it is generally to be a duo?
I think it's really difficult because both of you have these ideas and they sort of bounce off each other, and if you begin to disagree, then it becomes incredibly difficult as a duo to continue writing.
Maybe that's why a lot of duos don't last as long as other groups.
Yeah, because I suppose there's so many different ideas coming from different places in, say, a band.
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, say the Stones, and they've lasted forever.
Of course we're a duo.
Of course we're a duo. Let's see how long it takes us.
Well, we've been going 6 years so far.
Exactly. I think another six is a safe estimate.
Okay. Listener, let us know what you think.
Yeah, I really hope you do.
And we have one more troubled duo still to come.
But first, why don't you go through the trouble of following us on Instagram and Twitter?
X.
On Instagram, we're at Vinyl Countdown Podcast, and on Twitter, we're at Vinyl Countdown 10.
Well, Ike and Tina Turner weren't the only troubled husband and wife pairing in the 60s and 70s. There was also Sonny and Cher. They were together for 13 years before their divorce. Let's play out with I Got You, Babe. I hope you had fun over the past hour. I did. See you next time with another box load of vinyl.
Bye.
They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out until we grow. Well, I don't know. Well, that's true. You got me, and baby, I got you. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned. Our money's all been spent. I guess that's so. We don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers in the spring. I got you to wear my ring. Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you to hold my hand. I got you to understand. I got you to walk with me. I got you to talk with me. I got you to kiss goodnight. I got you to hold me tight. I got you.
got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
It's the Vinyl Countdown!